لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك، إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. يا ربي لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير، وبك نستعين يا فتاح. آمين ثم آمين يا رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear sisters, how are you doing? I hope and pray that everyone is on the highest levels of Iman and Taqwa, enjoying the blessings of Quran and Ramadan, bi-ithnillah. Yes? Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Learning every single day. Alhamdulillah, increasing knowledge every day and getting, you know, it's a curious attitude. You know, you want to know what's next, what's next. And it's willing, we are so very willing to learn from it. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah. It's a journey, you know, like it's, keep on motivating. It's such a beneficial journey when the learning, you start learning all the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it makes you wonder what next. And we keep on doing dua, inshallah wa ta'ala, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the beneficial knowledge, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to fulfill those commandments, inshallah wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, on behalf of Nurul Quran International Institute and the entire team of Journey Through Quran, we welcome you in today's session of Juz 11th, inshallah wa ta'ala, in Journey Through Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us barakah of the month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us complete our goal with ihsan and ikhlas. May we are granted beneficial knowledge. May we are able to take Quran's message seriously. And may we implement each and every commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon ourselves and in our lives. Ameen, summa ameen. Alhamdulillah, I'm looking forward to sign up more details course. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. That's what we want. You know, this is a teaser. You know, you can just like an appetizer. So Alhamdulillah, we are just learning the surface thing, you know, like we're just scratching the surface. But it is such a mesmerizing session when you learn in detail all the facts, you know, the reason behind the ayahs of why they were revealed, and what is the story behind, what is the background behind these ayahs. Subhanallah, it is so mesmerizing to know. And inshallah wa ta'ala, and I'm hoping and praying all of us will see each other again in that session, inshallah wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, with tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we completed Juz 10th yesterday. We completed Surah Al-Anfal and then started Surah At-Tawbah. And theme of the Juz was, what was the theme? Can anybody save ourselves from trace of hypocrisy? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. May Allah reward you immensely for taking the Quran seriously and learning so seriously. Alhamdulillah. And then such a good student of Quran and learning of Quran. Alhamdulillah. Both 9th and 10th Juz are interrelated, right? As you remember, theme of Juz 9th was, what was it? Let's see if you do and remember. Theme of Juz 9th. Arrogance, right? And arrogance is the reason which develops the signs of hypocrisy in people's heart. So this arrogance leads to destruction. Yes, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And this is a very, very serious issue. That when the hypocrisy, it just destroys all your deeds, you know, like it is a very, very serious thing. So we have male, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us avoid all kind of attitudes which leads to hypocrisy. Jews started with the division for the spoils of war. Can you tell me what was the division? How it was divided? How many parts and how they were divided? Five and how they were divided? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet, for relatives, for orphans, for poor, for the travelers. Right? Alhamdulillah. And the division was based, it was need-based, right? So that was kept in mind. It was to develop a welfare state, so state could take care of who? The poor, right? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave directions to handle disputes. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped people of Iman in Battle of Badr, subhanallah, and it was made clear that head count does not matter. Did you notice how Shaitan also admitted that he was scared of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Remember when he ran from the battlefield? So now the question is, are we scared of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too? That is the question of the hour. Sometimes we say we do, but our actions tell a different story. We have to make sure that we try our best to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it should show from our actions too, inshallah wa ta'ala. We have to make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that kind of attitude. So our interactions should be the reflection of our whatever we say, of our words, inshallah wa ta'ala. Ameen, summa ameen. It was told that the hypocrites have a sick heart, and how they mocked people of Iman, that their deen has made them crazy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despised the traitors and was told, once you commit, then be steadfast. So it is now our self-check. Are we steadfast on our commitment? Our commitment to learn our deen? Our commitment to learn the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Our commitment to act upon them, to follow all the commandments, to follow Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sunnah. So inshallah wa ta'ala, we have to do self-check as we go along. And it should be every single hour, every single minute, every single second, you know, like it's a continuous struggle. It's a continuous self-check, because we do not want shaitan to intervene, you know, and then we do not want to leave that space for him. So we will continuously, inshallah ta'ala, do a self-check and keep on improving ourselves. So fulfill the commitments made and then rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So that should be our action point. Then we were told that if we are not grateful, then we will be stripped of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is also very, very scary. You know, we do not want that. None of us want that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should strip us away from His blessings, right? So inshallah wa ta'ala, we will, with our actions, we will show that we are indeed grateful. We will show our gratitude, right? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assured the believers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for them. Self-check. Do we consider that? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for us? Inshallah wa ta'ala, we will, by our actions, we will show. A believer holds strong iman, and stronger iman means more strength and more help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to keep our eyes on the prize, meaning our akhirah. Do we think akhirah as a prize? If we do, then we have to work for it. Work hard, the hardest we can work for. Because we never know when is the time, you know, when our time is up, and then our akhirah starts right then and there. So we have to desire it. We have to work for it, inshallah wa ta'ala. Then we were told that either we will be muhajirs or ansars, but there will be no third option, meaning a hypocrite. That is again so very important. And we learned throughout the years, we learned the different qualities of a hypocrite. So I'm hoping that you all have make notes of those, and then inshallah ta'ala we will avoid all those, because it is such a short time and we cannot discuss the whole thing. So inshallah ta'ala we will revise from our notes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will choose us only if we have goodness in our hearts. So help each other in goodness if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help, right? We can learn from the exemplary example of how Ansari Medina accommodated Muhajirs in their lives and developed brotherhood. Excuses at every point. Ji, bilkul, you are right. Then Surah gave us loads of lessons and action points, and I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us act upon them. Ameen, summa ameen. Surah Tawbah, what was the unique thing about Surah? Anything rings the bell? No bismillah. Yeah, alhamdulillah. No bismillah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dictated barat from the mushrikeens who broke their covenant. Right? If someone takes shahada, the three things we have to look for. Kalima, salah, and zakah. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah, you are so fast. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase your knowledge. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. All right. We learned that we have to be a bridge and not a barrier. And we cannot be friends with the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to tawakkal on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes. And have to develop taqwa, inshallah wa ta'ala. So we can take a stand to protect Islam. Are we willing to do that? Inshallah wa ta'ala, yes, we will. But the first step is to learn. Because if we don't have a knowledge, we cannot stand and support, inshallah wa ta'ala. We will do that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose us for his deen, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the torch bearers of Islam. Ameen. Ameen. Inshallah ta'ala, we will join Sister Faiza in Atlanta, Georgia for our live session of Journey Through Quran, and we will inshallah gather gems from Juz 11th. Inshallah wa ta'ala. Stay focused, do loads of du'as for the best outcome of the session, take notes, and be the best students ever. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you spend this Ramadan, the best Ramadan ever, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera wa hasan jaza. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Let's another day. Welcome Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has welcomed us, and we welcome the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hands. Start this day with a beautiful smile and beautiful heart that is full with gratitude. The more you are grateful for this blessing of Quran, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you and I with that. And as we have been learning from the day one, that the happiness comes when you are grateful, and happiness is part of our life when we attach our life with the Quran. And the more happiness we want, the more Quran should come in our life, and it should become a priority. Inshallah. Also, today's juz is also an amazing juz. We all need to make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we learn today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it sadaqah jariyah for us and bring it into a practice for us and make it easy for us. And we can put our hearts and minds into this book, because there is nothing better you can do in the face of this earth other than attaching yourself with the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with that note, inshallah, we'll begin. But first, listen to the recitation of the first few ayahs of today's beautiful juz, and try to listen attentively, because we have already learned the more attentively you listen, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon you and I. So let's listen to the recitation and we'll begin from there.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الحمد لله Just bear with us, inshallah. We're trying to get the technical difficulty.
يعتذرون إليكم إذا رجعتم إليهم قل لا تعتذروا لن نؤمن لكم قد نبأنا الله من أخباركم وسيرى الله عملكم ورسوله ثم تردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون سيحلفون بالله لكم إذا انقلبتم إليهم لتعرضوا عنهم فأعرضوا عنهم إنهم رجس ومأواهم جهنم جزاء بما كانوا يكسبون يحلفون لكم لترضوا عنهم فإن ترضوا عنهم فإن الله لا يرضى عن القوم الفاسقين
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الحمد لله Today we're going to do Juz 11. Juz 11 is a continuation of Surah At-Tawbah, inshallah. And the theme for the Juz 11, as we're doing the theme for every Juz, you know why? Because it keeps you focused and then it keeps you and makes you a focal point that we're going to get at least one thing out of it, inshallah. First up, shiru bi bay'ikum allazi bay'atum bihi, wa dhalika huwa al-fawzul azim. The theme is that I am sold. Put a soul sign on yourself. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this ayah, so rejoice in your transaction which you have contracted. Which contracted? Inshallah, we'll learn detail in the ayah if the ayah comes. But basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting you and I to sell ourselves in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the best business dealing we can ever do. It is a profitable trade. There is only a win-win situation when we do this. The dunya becomes better and the akhirah becomes successful. The dunya is easy and the akhirah is the way we like to be. So, inshallah, with keeping that in mind, we're going to do that I am no longer belong to myself. I no longer belong to my own desires. I no longer listen to my own self. What do I want? If I feel good, if I feel bad, if I want this, if I don't want this. And with that theme in mind, if we go to the next slide, there's a hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is going to be our dua for today, and that is, ان صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين. This is a whole dua that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do as a dua istiftah for the salah. Before starting the prayer, after saying Allahu Akbar, he would say this dua, meaning this dua we can actually memorize all of it, and then we can say it in the dua as an opening prayer. But if until you have memorized this dua, at least you and I can memorize the highlighted part, because this goes with today's theme that we don't belong to ourselves. You know why? Because inna salati, indeed my salah, wa nusuki, and my sacrifice, wa mahyaya, yeah, and my living, wa mamati, and my dying, lillahi, are for Allah. Who is Allah? Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of all that exists. He has no partner, and of this I have seen, and of this I have been commanded, and I am one of the Muslims. O Allah, guide me to the best of the deeds and the best of the manners, for none can guide to the best of them but you. And protect me from bad deeds and bad manners, for none can protect against them but you. How beautiful the wording of this dua is. La sharika lahu wa bidhalika umirtu wa ana min al muslimin. Allahumma dini al-ahsan al-a'mali wa ahsan al-akhlaqi. La yahdi la yahsaniha illa anta. Wa qini sayyi al-a'mali wa sayyi al-akhlaqi. La yaqiya sayyi'aha illa anta. So inshallah, let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly, totally is make it easy for us to give up ourselves in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when I was thinking about this dua, I was thinking, what this dua really means, that I belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to say in this ayah. Basically, if you go to the next slide, the connection slide, you see here that the connection of the Juz 10 and the Juz 11 is what? If you remember in Juz 10, we learn about hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is something that eats you up. Hypocrisy has the lowest level in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a believer is way than the one who has hypocrisy in his heart. A believer with a sin, meaning a believer with a sin, maybe he's a bigger sinner, he does a lot of sin, as long as he doesn't have hypocrisy, he has a higher status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than those who have hypocrisy. In Jahannam, there are many levels, and the lowest level is where the hypocrites will be. So this is why, in order to come up with a solution, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this ayah. How can you and I save ourselves from hypocrisy? You know how? By making a business deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and place a soul sign on yourself. Meaning, now you do not belong to yourself. You know why? Because as long as we give up ourselves in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then hypocrisy doesn't come in. You know why? Because now your heart is not thinking and doing the way you want it to do. Meaning, let's take an example. You know, when people have something desired, like for example, they want to buy this outfit. And they're really lovely outfit, and the friend is wearing it, and they look so good in that, and everybody's appreciating it. But you know, the outfit, the material that is made of, is very see-through. So much see-through that you can see the shape of the body, and you say, you know what, but it's not very Islamic. My Allah is not going to be happy. At that moment, when you have sold yourself in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it becomes so much easier for you to make a decision. And this works in every step of the life. When a person has given themselves up in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have made this contract with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now I am yours. You can use me the way you want to. You can make me work the way you want to. And then person doesn't mind giving up his choices. And then there is no friction. I want you to think about it. You know why the friction comes in our life? When we have too many options to choose from, and we are confused, and then we want to do what we want to do, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us something. A believer, the one who has taqwa in their heart, they are easy. It's easy for them to decide. You know why? Because now they are aligning their needs and desires with the needs and desires and commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when somebody tries to go against the current, if you have ever swimming or not, I don't know if you have ever been to swimming or maybe you have done watching swimming or something. Swimmers do, when they go towards the current, it's easy. Their speed goes up, right? And they don't get tired as much. But when a swimmer tries to go against the current of the water river flow, what happens? They have to struggle. They have to work hard. They have to really make their way and put all the efforts in it. So if you and I want to go to Earth Jannah, then we have to go with the flow which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for us. When we want to go with the flow of this dunya, and then we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us this and that, then there's a problem. The friction goes on. Your mind says something else. Your heart says something else. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants something else, but you think of doing of something else. So this, in order to avoid this friction, we can all ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose me for yourself. I don't want to think of my own anymore. I want to become yours. And with that, let's begin with juz number 11. The main topics that you see in your slide are, there are so many lessons of course, but I have put only few here so we can focus on these. And that is, action makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy, not just words. This is why we sell ourselves in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we only do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, and we don't just talk about it. Unlike hypocrites, they only talk about it. When it comes to doing something, they don't do it. Being truthful saves you in the long run. It may hurt you for a time being. You may get punished. Like for example, if a child comes and if he's telling you, if you're asking him, did you took this candy or not? If he's going to say yes, he might have to face your anger. Why did you took it? Right? So this is exactly what happened. Truth might bother you for a time being, but in a long run, it is much, much better. Do you know why? Because today we're going to learn the story of the three people who told truth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them punishment of this dunya only in order to save them for the punishment of the akhirah. And Allah loves those who admits their mistake. This is very important we're going to learn today, because when we don't admit our mistake, guess what happens? This is exactly what happened to the shaitan, right? He became arrogant. So Allah loves those who admit their mistakes. From now on, we can make this mindset for ourselves that every time I make a mistake, I will have to admit it. And then, should we be people pleaser or self-pleaser or Allah-pleaser? There are three types of people you'll find in this world. The people who are always worrying about pleasing themselves, for about their comfort, what they like, what they don't like. And there's another kind of people. They always worry about people, meaning what people are going to say, what my uncle is going to say, what my aunt is going to get upset, what my sister is going to say. They're always worrying about what others are thinking about them. And then there's a third category, that is Allah-pleaser. And that is something that always worry about what Allah wants. So we can decide that inshallah which type of people we want to be in. And then should we be the forerunner or moderate people or slow pacer? Best business deals is what? And lessons from the history of course. And what Islam wants from us. And of course, invitation to ponder upon nature. There will be Surah Yunus there. We will learn that in detail there. And who can be friends of Allah? We will learn about Wali Allah. Who are they? What are their personality traits, inshallah. Now, let's begin with ayah number 90, let's begin with ayah number 90. وَجَاءَ الْمُعَذِّرُونَ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ لِيُؤْذَنَ لَهُمْ. And those with excuses among the Bedouins came to permit it in order to remain. And they who had lied to Allah and His Messenger said at home, there will be strife they will strike those who disbelieve among them a painful punishment. We learned that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went for this Tabuk, right? And he made a general announcement that everybody has to participate in it. And now there were different people who were coming up with the excuses. Some had the genuine reasons, and some were seeking permission to stay behind, and some had false excuses. So they wanted to stay behind by making false excuses. And then there was another category of people who did not even come to make an excuse, meaning he just sat in their home. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about all such people are being criticized who didn't even bother to make any excuses. So what we learn here is that سَيُصِيبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Those who disbelieve among them will suffer from a painful punishment. How is this disbelief? Because you know why? Iman requires action. Meaning, only words don't matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you say, when we claim that we have Iman, that it must be reflect upon our actions. When a person believes in Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then what does he do? He has to follow. He has to give up his desire. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this. Ayah number 91. There is not upon the weak or upon the ill or upon those who do not find anything to spend any harm, any discomfort when they are sincere to Allah and His Messenger. I want you to highlight this ayah number 91, because this is what the believer is, right? Hypocrites can make excuses, but they are the one who are always present. Meaning, a person with a genuine excuse. Yes, they had an excuse, but it was genuine excuse. If he is not able to go along because of this, because of some reason, then there is no sin upon him, right? There is not upon the doers of good any cause or blame, and Allah is forgiving and merciful. Nor is there blame upon those who, when they came to you, that you might give them mounts. Meaning, a mount so that they can participate, a riding animal. At the time when the Tabuk happened, there were only 18 camels, and the distance from the Medina to Tabuk was a lot, and they had no money or no transportation of their own. This is why they had to turn back, meaning they had a genuine excuse. They wanted to go. They had a desire to go, but they didn't have means to go. So for them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they are forgiven. You said, I can find nothing for you to write upon. Meaning, of course, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have anything to give it to them anyway. So they said, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, you can go back, because I don't know. If I don't have anything to give you to transportation, so then how are you going to go? They turned back while their eyes overflowed. Take a pause here. You know, some people in our, sometimes they make excuses, and when their excuses are accepted, they feel good about it. They say, alhamdulillah, I am just let go. Alhamdulillah, I don't have to do this job. It's going to be too hard. If you think about it, you know, this Tabuk war was with who? The Romans. And this war was such a serious war, because in this time, there was the times were so hard, and Muslims were really not in a position to fight with a superpower of the time. But we learn here that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had two choices. When superpower was trying to pressure them, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have said, you know what? I'll just try to come up with the terms and agreements, and then we settle on a plan and we don't fight, right? He could have done that. And the other option was that no, take it and be ready to fight the enemies who are bothering the Muslim Ummah. So Romans were the superpower of the time. What we learn here is that Iman gives you such a confidence, even though Muslims were not in a position to fight, they had not enough resources to fight with this Roman Empire, but Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a decision to go ahead and fight and stand up for the rights of Muslims. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very soft among people, but very tough on non-believers. Meaning, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we're not going to take no for an answer. We're not going to come under the pressure of the superpower, unlike today. Muslims, we see, Muslims are always trying to lower themselves in the hands of the superpower. If superpower say, you do this, we say, yes, sir. If superpower says, you have to have this economic sanctions, we say, you know, if they put sanctions on us, economic sanctions, we're going to go under. So let's agree and get some loan from them. And we are sold in their hands. This is not what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. And this is the courage and power we need in today's Muslim ummah to stand up so nobody can look for with a dirty eye today, even Muslim countries where Muslim power, Muslim ruling are, they are also pressured by non-Muslims. They make their decisions according to what non-Muslims tell them. This decision was not easy, but Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam still went ahead and announced the war. Not very feasible, but you know what? The Sahaba did not ask any question. Everyone listened. You know, this is what we learn here. When people become friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they give up themselves in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't question and they say, Labbay. Oh Allah, I am available. Whatever you ask, oh Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever you're asking us to do, we will do it. Even though it was very clear that going for this war, it is like giving yourself in the hands of an enemy. And you may not come back alive at all. And this is how Anbiya, Shuhada, Sahaba, Tabi'een, and Ali predecessors were. This is why Islam survived. This is why we see Islam still today valid and alhamdulillah growing and thriving. So what we learn here is that for us, we are not in that position. Do you know why? Because we cannot even send our kids to the masjid 5 times a day. We say, you know, in Fajr time he's sleeping, in Isha time he's tired, and let them pray at home. If we cannot even do the jihad enough to go to the masjid, when we have the luxurious car parked in a garage, do you think that we have an iman to go and fight for the Battle of Tabuk, which was mandatory? Salah is mandatory, right? So if Salah is mandatory for us, and it's so much, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us through Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so much benefit of praying Salah in a masjid. And if we cannot do that, do you think we can fight? So this is what we learned. But the action item we can take for us is that no excuses in life. We have to live for Allah. And this can only happen when there is no hypocrisy. And that can only happen when there is no arrogance. And that can only happen when we sell ourselves in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know how? By giving yourself, think of yourself like a made of a, not just stone, because stone is tough. So there's a stone, you can't really break it or melt it. You know why? Because when the minute you try to bend it, it's not going to bend, right? In fact, it's going to break apart. But if think of something made out of clay, soft, pliable clay, what can you do to that clay? You can mold it in any shape and form you like. Think of yourself, since we are originally, for real, made of clay. But you know what? Over time, when this dunya, the air of this dunya gets on this clay, it hardens it. Isn't that what happens with the molding clay? When you take out the molding clay new from its wrapping, isn't it soft? This is how you mold the clay and make anything and everything you want, and modeling clay that you can buy in a store. Think of that. You model the clay the way you want to, according to your style and designing. But once you leave it in the air open, what happens? It dries out. It becomes hardened. And then when it's hardened, that's when you try to break. That's what happens. It falls apart. It's breakable, right? So it doesn't hold its shape. So think of yourself and I, that we are a clay which is soft and pliable. And now the air of this society, this world, is not getting on it. It's still keeping hands in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why it stays pliable. This is why whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, command to jihad, ya Allah, labbaik, I am here. Class is starting for the Quran class, labbaik Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am here. I have to go volunteer this place, labbaik Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am here. I have to go and wake up in the middle of the night for the Hajjah to pray in the month of Ramadan to eat suhoor, alhamdulillah. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, I am here. When there's a time to pray Fajr, when the You are so sleepy and you are so tired because you had a bad sleeping night, because you had to go to bathroom for too many times for whatever reason. You'd had not a very good sleep. But when the Fajr time comes, you say Labbaik. And this is only can be done when you and I consider ourselves with a made of soft, pliable wood. And the munafiq doesn't do that. And this is why we see that a munafiq is worse than a sinning believer. This is a gem you can write down. Munafiq is a worse person than a sinning believer. And we will learn about three mukhlis sahaba here. The sahaba who are really good people, but something happened and they were not able to go. So inshallah, right here, we're learning, nor is there blame upon those who, when they came to you and they might give them mounts, meaning they had no riding animal, they were not able to go. They turned back with their eyes overflowed, with tears, out of grief, that they could not find something to spend for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how the believer, you and I, is supposed to be. You know why? Because if we are given an opportunity, and we're not able to do it for some reasons, for example, there's a Quran class that you're supposed to be going, and now all of a sudden there's a car accident happened, and you got stuck in the traffic, and you can go, and you missed the time. So instead of feeling good, alhamdulillah, I don't have to take the class today. It's such a blessing. Now I can go shopping. Instead of saying that, they say, they cry, did I miss the class today? I'm feeling so bad. How am I going to make up? And their eyes fill with the tears. And ayah number 93, the cause for blame is only upon those who ask permission of you while they are rich. Meaning, they have the means to go. They have the things to go and take care of. But they still don't go. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they are satisfied to be with those who stay behind. Meaning, it makes them feel good that the opportunity is gone. And they are safe and sound and happy at their home. Now they can go to this party they've been planning to go. And this, because of this class, they were not able to go. And because of this volunteering that came in the middle, they had to cancel this party. Now they can attend this party and have fun all the time. Meaning, they're happy to stay behind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, because of their happiness, because of their hypocrisy, faith in them, Allah says that, and Allah has sealed over their hearts, so they do not even know. Meaning, Allah, they think that they're smart, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they don't even know that this is what's going on, because now Allah has stopped them from coming. From ayah number 94 to 99, the believers and hypocrites, still the topic is going on. And then, ya taziruna ilaykum iza raja'tum ilayhim, they will make excuses to you when you have returned to them. Say, make no excuses, never will we believe you. Allah has already informed us of your news, and Allah will observe your deeds, and so will his messenger. Then you will be taken back to the knower of the unseen and witness, and he will inform you of what you used to do. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day will tell us, right? Allah knows what kind of excuses are we making. What is our intention? This is why our deen, innamal a'malu binniyat, it is upon your intention. If you wanted to go and you cannot go, if you wanted to serve and you cannot serve, if you wanted to pray in a masjid and you can't go and you cannot do, if you wanted to help orphans out and work out in the community, but you don't find enough means, Allah knows it. They will swear by Allah to you when you return to them that you would leave them alone. So leave them alone. Indeed, they are evil, and their refuge is hell as recompense for what they had been earning. Meaning, they would make all kinds of excuses, and they would swear by Allah when Prophet ﷺ would return, they would come to him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already informed Prophet ﷺ, they will come and they will tell you that, you know what, leave us alone, this problem and that problem. In other words, when Islam is not serious, When Islam is not there in the heart the way it's supposed to be, then people come up with all kinds of excuses. May Allah save us from any and all kinds of excuses. Ayah number 96, they swear to you that you might be satisfied with them. But if you should be satisfied with them, indeed Allah is not satisfied with the defiantly disobedient people. Then again, we learn here that the heart of Prophet ﷺ was so soft, and upon returning from the Battle of Tabuk, and Prophet ﷺ went to this expedition, and he went in the in order to fight the Romans, right? And Prophet ﷺ is reminded here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you know what? They're going to make an excuses. And do you know what happened in the Battle of Tabuk for real? When they went there, the Romans never showed up, because Romans were not expecting Muslims to take a stand and really come forward in these conditions. And so they were just, you know, perking them and bothering them. But when they saw that Muslims are ready to come and fight, Romans never showed up for the war. And guess what? Muslims who went there, despite of knowing that if Romans would come, they didn't know that Romans are not going to show up, right? They thought they're going to kill themselves. Basically, they already knew that they're going to not come back home alive. They will be martyred there. But the Romans never showed up. So when Romans never showed up and then enemy didn't show up, the war never really happened. So this was basically a success. So this entire journey was basically only a test for a believer. What do we learn here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes tests you and I just to see how much iman do I have. And you know, it's like this sometimes when a kid has a candy in their hand and the mom says, oh, give me your candy, I want it. And the kids put his hand behind his back. No, it's mine. And they run away from there. And then you say, you know what? It's okay. I was just kidding. I don't want your candy. I was just testing whether you would give it to me or not. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the believers go through, this type of a test. And they were said, the people who came forward, they were the true believers. And the people who stayed behind make excuses. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala separated the munafiqeen with the believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when you will return to Medina, what will happen? These people are going to come and they will present you all kinds of excuses. So here what we learn here is that if the excuse is genuine, it's okay. But if the person, like for example, a person is ill or he doesn't have the resources, that's okay. Lack of money, that's okay. If they have certain responsibilities, they cannot leave, like a sick person at home, they're taking care of, that's okay. But anything other than that, these are just excuses that are not real. In hadith, we learn in Bukhari, Prophet ﷺ said, when he returned from the battle of Tabuk, he said, there are some people in Medina who were with you all the time. Meaning, even though they didn't go, but they were there. Why? Because they had the desire to go. What do we learn from this? Even if we're not able to do any good opportunity, at least we should have the desire to do it. Even though we're not in a position to go out in a battlefield right now, at least we all should have a longing for it, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to put me in a position where I have to go forward and fight, I can. So these people, there are some people in Medina who were with you all the time. You did not travel any portion of the journey, nor did you cross any valley, but that they were with you. Who? They were those who had genuine excuses. Habasahum al-uzr, meaning they could have gone if they were. It was possible for them. But since they didn't have the opportunity or resources, so they were not able to go. So the lesson here for us, we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be very truthful. And you know what? This is why if we let go and if we align our thinking and our likes and our mahiya wa mamati with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will be honest. And people make excuses because they are dishonest to themselves. You know, our dishonesty to ourselves doesn't hurt anybody else but to ourselves. So let's make intention that we are not dishonest with ourselves. Ayah number 97. الأعراب أشد كفرا ونفاقا وأجدر ألا يعلم حدود ما أنزل الله على رسوله والله عليم حكيم. The Bedouins are stronger in disbelief and hypocrisy. Why? Because of the environment they live in. It makes them very tough. They are very harsh. They are very hard-hearted because they work hard. They live in a desert. And they are more likely not to know the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to his messenger. And another reason is The first is the environment that they live in that makes them harsh and tough. They are ignorant. They don't have enough knowledge. It's like this, you know, if a person is illiterate and you try to teach him the theology, he's not going to get it. If a person is knowledgeable and he's an educated person, and that's when you talk about theology, he'll get it. Right? So it's like that. Bedouins were very villagers type of people, and they had not enough understanding of knowledge. So they were very tough in making excuses. So we learn here that ignorance is something that leads to hypocrisy. And Allah is knowing and wise. Ayah number 98. And among the Bedouins are some who consider what they spend as a loss and await for you turns of misfortune. Why? Because they do not understand. They don't have enough knowledge. Upon them will be a misfortune of evil, and Allah is hearing and knowing. But they are not all the same. Ayah number 99. Among the Bedouins are some who believe in Allah and the last day and consider what they spend as means of nearness. Question. Do I consider whatever I spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a means of nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And of obtaining invocation of the messenger, meaning receiving the dua of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Every penny we spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it gets us closer. The hearts open up when people give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unquestionably, it is a means of nearness for them. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, there is no doubt, it is a means of nearness when people spend, and Allah will admit them to His mercy. Question. Do we want Allah's mercy to come upon us? Then we should open up our heart for Allah, especially this month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us here, or else we would be among those that who would not reach this month of Ramadan. There are so many deaths in Muslim community, in our local community just happened, and the rate of death in Muslim community locally here where I am spiked double the number as compared to other months. Allah knows best. We are here still alive. We should feel that we need to open up our hearts. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. So lesson for us. Give sadaqah and earn the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how simple it is. This is how quick and simple it is to get the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from ayah number 100 to 109, we learn 5 different types of people. So what are they? Number 1 category. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ. And the first forerunners in the faith. Who are they? You know, they are the one who, when the call comes, they're the first one to reply. When the opportunity opens up, they're the first one to apply. When they see that there's a call and there's a need in some place, they are observer. They are keen observer. They're keenly observing, and they're first one to show up. وَالْمِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. Among the muhajirin and the ansar, notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say the third category, which is munafiqeen, because they are not the opportunity seeker. They are never there. Those who go first and make it to the front rows. Those who come to the class time before the class starts. Those who really wrap up their errands and run up all those things so they can be there at ease, starting the class before time. You know why? Because they're not rushing and hurrying up. They're not saying, oh, it's still 15 minutes left. I'm just going to do it later. I'll join it. It's okay. So what? I'm running late. So what? I'll just miss the first half of the class. So what? At least I'll make it towards the end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this is the first category. May Allah make us among those. Do we want to be in the first category? Then highlight this. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ. Oh Allah, make me among those who are the forerunners. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. And those who follow them with good conduct. This is the second category. Meaning, they're not the first runners. They are never in the first row of the masjid. They make it, they get there, alhamdulillah. But they are second, third, fourth rows. They're never fourth one. They're never the first one. And Allah is pleased with them. And they are pleased with Him. Meaning, it is also a good category, but they're not the best one, but they're a very good one. And He has prepared for them gardens beneath which river flow, wherein they will abide forever. Alhamdulillah. And you know why? Because this is the greatest achievement, greatest success, and greatest attainment. This is the true success. And then Prophet ﷺ said, about this. Abu al-Qudri said, "Oh Abu Sa'id," Prophet said to Abu Sa'id al-Qudri, "Oh Abu Sa'id, whoever happily accepts Allah as his Lord, Islam as his religion, and Prophet as his messenger, is necessarily entitled to entire paradise, entitled to enter paradise." Then he added that Prophet ﷺ said, so Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, he wondered and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, can you repeat that for me?" Meaning, whatever you're saying, that somebody is definitely going to Jannah. I only heard something about Iman. Did I miss something? So Prophet ﷺ repeated it for him. What? That he said that whoever happily accepts Allah as Lord, Islam as a religion, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his messenger, he is necessarily entitled to enter Jannah. Here, notice here that only Iman is mentioned, no Amal is mentioned. You know why? Because Iman is deeply rooted in the heart. Amal shows anyway. Actions are there anyway. So Iman is more important thing. And once we have Iman that is strong Iman, only then actions doesn't really matter because they come naturally. So this is what Rasulullah ﷺ said. And then he added, then he said, there is another act which elevates the position of a man in Jannah to a grade 100 higher. What is that? Meaning, this is something that will be admit him to Jannah, but if he does this one extra thing, then his ranks will be elevated 100 ranks higher. It is like skipping, going through 100 levels and make it to the top of the pyramid. Prophet ﷺ said, jihad is the way of Allah and jihad in the way of Allah, striving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did we learn here? This is the highest status when people come out of the comfort zone to work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 101, we learn, and among those around you of the Bedouins and are the hypocrites and also also from people of Medina, they have come accustomed to hypocrisy, meaning they have hypocrisy in their heart. Maradu ala nifaq, and they have become accustomed to hypocrisy. They have something, and they just feel guilty, and they said, oh, we'll come next day. Maybe we'll come tomorrow. We'll come. Maybe we'll join it later. La ta'lamuhum. You do not know them, but we know them. We will punish them twice in this world. Then they will be returned to the great punishment. And then there are others who have acknowledged their sins. This is another category, meaning halatu amalan salihan wa akhara sayyan. They had mixed a righteous deed with another that was bad. Perhaps Allah will return to them in forgiveness. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. Meaning, they are the one who didn't go there, but they acknowledge, yes, they made a mistake. Asallahu an yatuba alayhim. Hopefully, perhaps Allah will turn to them in forgiveness. What do we learn here? People can make mistakes. People can get lazy. As long as they come back and admit their mistake and seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. And then ayah number 103. خُز مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرْهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصِّلْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Take, O Prophet, from their wealth, a charity by which you purify them and cause them increase and invoke Allah's blessing upon them. Meaning, make dua for me. Make dua for them. Why? Because Prophet ﷺ is asked to pray for them. But in addition, they also have to do something. What do they have to do? They have to give sadaqah. Because charity is what extinguishes the fire, right? So this is why they should give sadaqah, and then you should make dua for them. Inna salataka sakun lahum. Indeed, your invocations are reassurance for them, and Allah is hearing and knowing. Ayah number 104. Do they not know that it is Allah who accepts repentance from his servants, and he receives charities? And that is Allah who is the acceptant of repentance, the merciful. Meaning, why would they not repent to Allah? Why would they not do good in order to draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts repentance of his servants? Meaning, why should not they? Why should they not they come forward and give sadaqah? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes charity. وَيَأْخُذُهُ الصَّدَقَاتِ. Meaning that Allah will take it and Allah will make it grow. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it from them despite of their mistake. Ayah number 105, and say, do as you will, for Allah will see your deeds, meaning now, what has happened as it happened in the past. Worry about the present state now. What should you do? Do more sadaqah, do more nawafil, do extra good, and whatever happens, feel bad about it and move forward in life. Don't just hold on to it. Now you have made such a big mistake and now there's no turning back. No, it can happen and you will be returned to the knower of the unseen and the witness, and he will inform you of what you used to do. Ayah number 106. وَآخَرُونَ مَرْجُونَ إِلِي أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. This is the next category. What are they? And they are others deferred until the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. About those whose decision was postponed. It was pending. The decision was made, not made, that what's going to happen to them. Meaning, their case was postponed and this case, they were waiting for their results to find out. We see that there were some Sahaba who did not go in the expedition and they did not really have genuine excuses either. So this was another category. So what happened then? As soon as Prophet ﷺ returned, they went to the masjid and they tied themselves up to the pillars of the masjid. Meaning, they were feeling bad that they, despite of not having any excuse, they still didn't come forward. So this is why they tried to punish themselves in this dunya. So they are saved from the punishment of the hellfire. This takes a lot of courage, right? Because they could have lied like other people too, but they didn't. And they did tawbah, and their tawbah was accepted, even though there was a punishment. Their people, Prophet ﷺ ordered to boycott these people for 50 days, and none of the Sahaba talked to them. They would say, come talk to us, and no one would. And this is what the quality of the good leader is. Everybody listened to him, and nobody really keep any ties with these three people, even though they were genuine. But you know why? Because they wanted to have their punishment right here in this dunya and they didn't want to suffer in the hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them. They were the courageous people. Whether he will punish them or whether he will forgive them, it is up to Allah, and Allah is knowing and wise. Meaning, the lesson here for us is this, that ultimately we can only be successful in our state of heart, I mean, when we are sincere. So, a very important lesson we learned here is that sometimes, you know, short-term lying saves you, but in the long run, it hurts you. So, what we learned here is that save yourself from a long-term effect of sin, and that is the punishment of the hereafter. In this dunya, you and I may suffer for the short-term genuine reasons, but you know what? Try to be as truthful as possible. Try to be as honest as possible. Whenever somebody asks you something, speak up. Say it. If somebody asks you, did you say this? Did you go there? Did you break this? Say yes. Admit it. Because if you say no, then they will never find out in this dunya. But Allah knows it. And at the end of the day, who are we trying to please? Who are we trying to fool? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or ourselves? Ayah number 107. وَالَّذِينَ تَخَذُوا مَسْجِدًا ضِرَارًا وَكُفْرًا وَتَفْرِيقًا بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And they are those hypocrites who took for themselves a masjid. Why? For causing harm and disbelief and division among the believers, and as a station of whoever had waged war against Allah and His Messenger before. And they were surely swear, we intended only the best, and Allah testifies that indeed they were liars. There were some munafiqeen, they actually didn't go, and they made a masjid while Prophet ﷺ was gone, and they said, this masjid was basically not a masjid with a true intention. This was like their meeting place. They called it as a masjid, meaning they used the name of the masjid to plot and plan their own plans. And they said, you know what, when Prophet ﷺ is going to come back, we're going to tell him to pray in this masjid. So this masjid is considered blessed in the eyes of the believers. And then we can really do and harm the Muslims. And this was something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says people do in the name of goodness. They say, oh, we're creating a masjid, we're developing a masjid, but the agenda is to promote something else. So this is exactly what they did. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is what's going on. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't know. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to believe whatever people used to say. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned him. Warned him what? In ayah number 108. Do not stand for prayer within it. Meaning, do not go and pray. Do not endorse that place as a masjid. Because this is not what the right intention is. Ever, meaning never go there. You know why? Because there were already two masajid there and there was no need to make a third masjid there. And a mosque founded on righteousness from the first day is more worthy for you to stand in. What do we learn here? When we give money for the cause of a masjid, intention should not be a show off. Intention should not be to create a masjid so we can run our agenda and promote our own maslak and promote our own school of thought. Today, masajid are empty. You know why? Because they're not built in the first place with the right intention. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, a masjid founded on a righteousness from the first day. Meaning, the foundation of the masjid has to be with the right intention. Only then masjid is powerful. Only then masjids are really alive and people come. Today, the people who give money, their money may not be for 100% halal sources. People who are building the masjid, they may not have the right intention. And as a result, we see beautiful, huge masjid. But how many Muslims do you know that they go in a masjid, pray 5 times a day? So what we learn here is that from the first day is more worthy for you to stand in. Within it are men we love to men who love to purify themselves, and Allah loves those who purify themselves. Action item from this is have pure intention when you go to the masjid, not because they're serving free iftar, let's go there. They're having a lecture, we're gonna meet the friends, let's go there. They're having a party there after lecture, there will be a barbecue, let's go there. Have the pure intention when you go to the masjid. Ayah number 109. Then is one who laid the foundation of his building on righteousness with fear from Allah and seeking his approval better, or one who laid the foundation of his building on the edge of the bank about to collapse, so it collapsed with him into the fire of hell. And Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. So what did we learn in this paragraph? 5 types of people. Some of them had the genuine reason. Some of them are the forerunners. Some of them who showed up later. Some of them who admit the mistake. And some of them who had no excuses, but they still did tawbah and they came and showed Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they stayed behind without any good reason. So on a day of judgment, everyone will be according to their deeds, meaning Allah knows our intention. Allah is pleased with the forerunners. Make dua that Allah make us among those. Run to grab the opportunities. Be the first responder. Munafiq do apparent deeds, like they build something and make it feel good, but they don't have the true intention. A believing sinner is better than hypocrite. Be firm in belief. Give sadaqah willingly, with conviction. Avoid unexpected results on a day of judgment by having the right intention, by giving up your heart in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do not deceive people, because deceivers are deceiving themselves. Develop iman like them, like Ansar. Rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be content with Allah's plan. In the next line, ayah number 110 to 118, a profitable trade. And this is what we're learning now, a profitable trade. And that is that you and I sell ourselves in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are we learning here? A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. فيه رجال يحبون أن يطهروا والله يحب آية نمبر 11 we should start. إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم. Indeed, Allah has purchased from the believers. Notice here, what Allah SWT is saying here? Allah has purchased, meaning this deal is made directly with Allah SWT. With who? Between Allah and the believer. What is the deal? Indeed, Allah has purchased from the believers their lives, their properties. Allah has taken from the believers. Now, بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ, in exchange for that, they will have a paradise. This is the price of paradise. Paradise, the Jannah, is expensive. It's not easy to come. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this Jannah is for who? For anybody who wishes for it? For anybody who makes dua? For anybody who just assumes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ghafoorur Rahim? No. Jannah is made for those who have given themselves up in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a profitable trade they did. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and Sayyid Abu Khudri said, a man came to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked, Ya Rasulullah, who is the best man? Which person is the best here? The best of all the people. Who is he? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man who struggles in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spending his wealth and staking his life, meaning he not only just spent his wealth on the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but his health and his everything, he himself spends it. So that is the one. They struggle in the cause of Allah, so they kill and they are killed. Meaning they don't fear their lives. They just ready to die in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a true promise binding upon him in the Torah and the Gospel and the Quran. And who is truer to his covenant than Allah? Meaning, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is saying that, is there anybody else who can be more truer than this? So, rejoice in your transaction which you have contracted. And this is the theme ayah I was talking about, that you and I, if we give up ourselves in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then be happy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you are the one who are the selected ones. And it is that which is the great attainment. Tabshiru. Highlight this part. First, tabshiru bibai'ikum alladhi ba'ayatum bihi. وَذَٰلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْضُ الْعَظِيمُ. This, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make this as a motto of our life and the goal of our life. You know why? Because this is the best thing that people can do to themselves. Sahaba who did hijrah, who struggled in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their lives were a practical demonstration of moving, going out for the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about these people? Abdullah ibn Abar, now he said, that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day he asked the people, do you know about the first group of my ummah that will enter Jannah? Meaning there will be different groups, right? So there will be a first group of people who will enter Jannah. Who are they? The muhajirun will come on the day of judgment to the door of Jannah. They will come to the gate of Jannah and they will request that the gates of Jannah be opened because it will be closed initially. So the keepers of the angels, they will say, has your account already been taken? Meaning, you're already done with your hisab, your reckoning is done already. They will say, for what we are to be called to account for, when our souls were on the shoulders in the way of Allah until we died in that condition. Meaning, they spend their life living for the deen, so they don't have any reckoning, because they died for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They died in a way of defending the deen, so there is no hisab. The gates will be open for them, and they will enter Jannah, and they will have taken Qailula, meaning the afternoon nap, of 40 years before the rest of the mankind will come. Can you imagine how early they will enter the Jannah? 40 years they will be entered into Jannah before anybody else, the one who died in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the reward only special to those. So, he who trades with Allah, then for him is goodness upon goodness. Meaning, and this is a hadith that we learn in Silsilah Sahihah, meaning there is nothing that they're making wrong, meaning they have such a profitable business they made. We can take this moment and make dua for ourselves. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me ability to do this profitable business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to sign this contract where I do not question anything anymore. Now, we need to see what causes this, right? So, what is my priority? What is my desire? Where am I headed? This is the answer we all can ask. Ayah number 112. التائبون العابدون الحامدون السائحون الراكعون الساجدون الآمرون بالمعروف والناهون عن المنكر والحافظون لحدود الله وبشر المؤمنين. Who are they? these are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are some of the qualities? In order to gain the friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the list of qualities that people should have. What are these? I want you to number them so we know, we can tally up that are we in this category or not. The number one is At-Ta'ibun, the repentant one, meaning the one who comes back and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, glad tidings to those who find a lot of istighfar in their record of deeds. Listen, can we keep our tongues moist, not just in the month of Ramadan only, but all the rest of the 11 months too? If we develop this habit of saying Astaghfirullah in your mouth, in your tongue all the time, whatever we are doing, and make it a habit that we continue with throughout the year and throughout the rest of the life, inshallah. Tuba, good news for the one who finds a lot of istighfar in his record. Atta Ibun are the one who do Tawbah repeatedly. And the number two is Al-Abidun. And Al-Hamidun is the third one. Those who worship Allah and those who praise Allah. And then Hamidun, Prophet ﷺ said for them, best of Allah's servants on the Day of Judgment shall be Al-Hamidun. Meaning those who praise Allah much. Instead of asking dua all the time, sometimes we should just glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too. Like say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, or Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar. Why? Because these are the praise words. They are definitely acceptable. They are definitely accepted in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-sa'ihun, this is the fourth category. Those who travel for Allah's call. Meaning, traveling for the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For us, to where do we travel? Because we're not going to a battlefield, right? So we can travel to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can sit in a car and go to the school where we can learn the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is traveling for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You go and give dawah. This is traveling for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You go and you teach or you learn yourself. This is traveling for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you and I reward because today, we are not even traveling. We're sitting in the comfort of our home. But you know what? Mentally, we're traveling. Mentally, we are here in this position, sitting in front of the computer screen, learning the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, those who travel for the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for them, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and the next one is, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah says that every deed of a son of Adam, every deed of the son of Adam is for him, except for the fasting. Why? Because fasting is for who? Fasting is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fasting, for that Prophet sallallahu said, every good deed is for the son of Adam and will be multiplied. A good deed receiving 10 folds to 700 folds. Each deed will be multiplied. And Allah said, with the exception of fasting, meaning we don't even know the reward of fasting. Alhamdulillah, you and I may be fasting at this hour. You and I may be in the state of fasting while learning to this hadith. How beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't even tell us what the reward is because it is beyond our capability to understand, beyond our what we can imagine. You know why? Because it is done for me, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I will give a reward for it. For a person abandons his passion and his food for my sake. Such a beautiful and really hadith that is really touching our heart. There are two occasions of joy for the one who fasts, a joy when he breaks his fast, and another joy is when he will meet his Lord. Alhamdulillah. We are in a state of fasting right now, and one of the joys is going to come and we will break our fast today. And the other joy, inshallah, we can have the intention for that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we see the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then for that, we can really make the that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the delight of your face for us a passion for us. When delight of the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when seeing the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become the delight of the heart, that's when it becomes passion. In other words, a true believer, when he is sabiqun al-awwalun, he has passion. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And the next category is وَالرَّاكِعُونَ السَّاجِدُونَ, those who bow and prostrate. Meaning, a sahabi asked Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he wanted his company in Jannah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, help me with sujood and with ruku. Meaning, pray salah in jama'ah, inshallah. and are rocky unasajitun, they are tapan, then those who enjoin what is right and what is forbid, and forbid what is wrong. Meaning, you have to exercise ibadah, worry about others too. Prophet ﷺ said, there is charity in enjoining good, and there is charity in forbidding evil. It is not just a good deed. Nothing is going to go to waste. And then the next category is, وَالْحَافِظُونَ لِحُدُودِ اللَّهِ, and those who observe the limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and give good tidings to those who believe. How beautiful. It is not for the Prophet that those who have believed to ask forgiveness for the polytheists, even if they were relatives, after it has come clear to them that they are the companions of the fire. And the request of the forgiveness of Ibrahim for his father was only because of a promise he had made to him. But when it became apparent to Ibrahim that his father was an enemy to Allah, he disassociated himself from him. Indeed, Inna Ibrahim la'awwahun halim. Indeed, Ibrahim was compassionate and patient. This is why he made the dua for his father, but his father was a non-believer. So what we learn here is that we can try, at least we can have intention to follow this list along in our lives. Ayah number 115, and Allah would not let a people stray after he has guided them until he makes clear to them what they should avoid. Indeed, Allah is knowing of all things. Indeed, to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and He gives life and causes death, and you have not besides Allah any protector or any helper. Ayah number 117. Allah has already forgiven Prophet and the Muhajirin and the Ansar who followed him the hour of difficulty. Fissat al-Usra. What do we learn here? They were given this glad tiding that they are already forgiven. You know what would we do? In this case, we say, now we got a ticket of entrance to the Jannah. Now we can take it easy because now Allah SWT is not going to take it back. But you know what we learned? That Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, even if his one foot is inside the Jannah, he will still not be satisfied that he will ever make it to Jannah all the way in. And here us believers, today's Ummah, we see they are sitting so satisfied, so happily, they just assume that they will be the inheritors of the Jannah. Jannah is not something that will come just by wanting it. We have to work for it. Why do you think these Sahabas went all the way out, all the way forward to this battle of Tabuk, even though they knew that this was the hardest expedition that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asking them to come? So what do we learn in this? This is a profitable trade that we can do, and everything of mine belongs to Allah. This is why we say, Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. And then, personality of those who see themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they seek forgiveness, they do fast, they praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they travel for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do sujood, and they enjoin good, they forbid evil, and they observe the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they do da'wah. And they help Islam in hardship. They don't back off and they don't turn away. And when people stay behind, they leave for the work of deen. And they are the one who go forward. And when people who don't go and they stay behind, for them, this earth actually shrinks on them. And the biggest success in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeking Allah's pleasure, seeking the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for being among those who seeks the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and work for Allah only. And then ayah number from 119 to 122, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Ayah number 119 to 122, we learn what Islam wants from us. Why? Because when we know what Islam wants from us, only then we can be focused. It is like a goal setting. If today we see Muslim Ummah, generally speaking, they don't know what Islam wants. Some people think Islam is the name of 5 rituals. Some people think Islam is the name of Tabligh, Dawah only. Some people think Islam is the name of following the Sunnah only. Some people think Islam is the name of praising Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's name only. People have divided Islam into category. So we learn here in this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, First of all, notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing you and I, and He's telling us something. Ittaqullah, fear Allah. This is what Islam is. And besides this, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. O you who have believed, fear Allah and be with those who are the true people. Who are those? Who are the truthful people? Because truthful people are those who stand up before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who witness and who offer themselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because during this time, in these 50 days, when those people, those three companions who came and who said that we then had an excuse and we didn't go, they are the ones. The one of them was Ka'b actually received a letter because from one of the king, and he offered that, you know what, you are such a good sahabi, good companion, and they're punishing you and they're boycotting you. Why don't you come forward and come to me and I will give you asylum. So what did the Sa'd do? He did not go forward. So what are the names of these three Mukhlis Sahaba who were there and whose result was postponed and pending? The one was Ka'b bin Malik, and then another one was Hilal bin Umayyah and Murara bin Rabi. They told Prophet ﷺ very clearly that they admit their mistake, and because of that, they had the 50 days of boycott for telling this truth. And they, at this time, a king sent a letter and told them that, why don't you come and I will give you asylum. He was a good Sahabi. He was a Badri companion. He fought in a battle of Badr. And what we learn here is that no, even though he was a good companion, but good people can make mistakes too, right? So he made a mistake. So he admitted it is his mistake. So what we learn here is that there are different kinds of people. Some people who try to just self-please themselves and they don't care about others. And they only say, alhamdulillah, they don't have to do any hard work. They always find the easy way out. And then there are other people who would worry about that, what people are going to say, and they would never tell the truth in front of public. They say, no, if I tell the truth in the public, oh, it's going to be really embarrassing, and I cannot take that embarrassment. But no. And then there are third one who are Allah pleaser, who come forward despite they knew that it's going to be harmful for them, and they might suffer because of that. So this is what we learn here. And this ayah is about Abu Khaisma, who worked in a farmland also. And you know what, he didn't go, and he had no genuine excuses not to go. And when he was eating in his farmland, his wife brought a food and they were about to enjoy the food. At that very moment it clicked to him. What did he do? They already left for the battle of the Tabuk and he did not go, and he was such a good person. So before he would take the first bite of the food, he decided, no, I need to go. He did not eat, and he told his wife, prepare a horse. And he sat on a horse and he really ran, and he caught up to the tribe that was already left. So, you know, when the horse was coming from far away, of course, when the horse runs in the desert, it really, the dust goes, the cloud of dust form, right? So when Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw this cloud of dust forming, and he said, you know what, he just wanted to believe that this is Abu Khaisma. And sure enough, that was him. And this is what happens. Sometimes people delay, but they have their goodness and they make it and they catch up. So this is what we learn here. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. Stay with those who are the truthful ones. It was not proper for people of Medina and those surrounding them up of the Bedouins that they remain behind after the departure of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of Allah, or that they prefer themselves over himself. That is because they are not afflicted by thirst or fatigue or hunger in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor do they tread on any ground that enrages the disbelievers, nor do they inflict upon an enemy any infliction, but that is registered for them as a righteous deed. Indeed, Allah does not allow to the lost to be lost the rewards of the doers of the good. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not waste anyone's good deeds. Ayah number 121. And they do not spend an expenditure, small or large, across a valley, but that is registered for them, that Allah may reward them for the best of what they were doing. Ahsana ma kanu ya'malun. Notice here, whatever they spend, what is the reward for that? Even what they spend in the Allah's way, whether it's a small amount. There was a sahabi, he had nothing to give, and he worked in the well of the Jew at the time, and every water well bucket he would get one date for it, and he worked all night long. In the morning he brought this few dates in his hand, and he said, "Oh Prophet, that's all I had to give." And you know what? Prophet ﷺ took that, and Allah accepted that, because that's all he had, and it was heavier than all the big amounts that people gave. Why? Because his intention was very true. Ayah number 122. وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَغْفِرُوا كَافًا. And it is not right for the believers to go forth to battle all at once, all or all together. For there should separate from every division of them a group remaining to obtain understanding in the religion, and warn their people when they return to them, that they might too be cautious. So what we learn here is that there are some people, there's so many lessons in here, but basically what we learn here is that taqwa makes a sign at sales of agreement, because if taqwa is there, that's when you can sign the sale of agreement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah does not waste any sincere deeds. He is always acceptance of good deeds. And then next thing we learn here is that assist truthful people, be with them, help them out, and seek knowledge. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, from ayah number 123 to 129, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about him. O you who have believed, fight those adjacent to you of the disbelievers, and let them find in you harshness, and know that Allah is with the righteous. And whenever a surah is revealed, there are among the hypocrites those who say, which of you has this increase in faith? Question. Do we feel increase in faith every time we are learning any more ayahs? Every ayah we learn, do we feel good? Does our iman level is increasing? Because if it's not increasing, that means we may be not putting 100% in it. Because these were the ayahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should be able to increase the iman of us. This is why we learn that whenever a surah is revealed, there are among the hypocrites those who say, which of you has this increase in faith? Meaning they're asking other people. As for those who believe, it has increased them in faith. But to the hypocrites, nothing happens to them. And they are rejoicing. They're happy that they remembered something that they had forgotten. They learned something they are ignorant of. With the knowledge, every surah should make you and I happy. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly make our hearts happy with every surah that we learn, every ayah that we learn. Ayah number 125. But as for those in whose heart is disease, it has only increased them in evil in addition to their evil. Meaning, they don't benefit from it at all. And they will have died while they are disbelievers. Do they not see that they are tried every year once or twice? Meaning, the incidents like the book happens and it exposes them. Yet, they do not repent, nor do they remember. Meaning, they don't learn any lessons from all these things. Ayah number 127. And whenever a surah is revealed, they look at each other, saying, does anyone see you? Meaning, because they don't want to hear, right? They don't want to know about that, because the ayahs are revealed for them. And then they dismiss themselves. And Allah has dismissed their hearts, because they are a people who do not understand. There has certainly come to you a messenger from among yourself. Question. Does the messenger come for us? Do we have his sayings with us? Do we have his teachings with us? Grievous to him is what you suffer. He is concerned over you. Question. Are we concerned about people too? Because Prophet ﷺ used to cry. He used to cry so much so for his ummah. He used to cry for people. How come they're not getting it? How come they're not coming to Islam? And he concerned over you and to the believers is kind and merciful. These are the qualities. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the qualities of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we are kind and merciful and considerate of others, not pointing fingers on others. Because you know why? Because we learn لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is for every prophet a prayer which is granted, meaning every prophet was given this chance to make the dua for their ummah, which Allah would definitely accept. Every prophet has given this honor. But you know what? Every prophet showed hastiness in his prayer, meaning they made dua, that this honor dua that they were given in this dunya. And you know what Prophet ﷺ did? I have, however, reserved my prayer for the intercession of my ummah on the day of resurrection, and it will be granted if Allah so willed in case of everyone of amongst my ummah, provided he dies without association anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in Muslim. This is how much Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved us. Can you and I feel the love of Prophet for us? He is not there physically with us, but we know, we can feel his love with the teachings he gave, with the hadith he's taught, with all the du'as he taught, all the sunnahs are preserved. And on the day of judgment, inshallah, once we love and obey Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will feed water of Hawdi Kawthar from his own hands. Let's long for that. Let's make dua for them. And that's the true success. For in tawallaw, so if they turn away, meaning if they don't follow the footsteps of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, guess what happened? Faqul, then say to them, Hasbi Allahu la ilaha illa huwa, sufficient for me is Allah. There is no deity except him. Meaning, it doesn't matter what you and I do, because it doesn't matter. Hasbi Allah, sufficient for me is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not need our help. He does not need us. Allah doesn't need us. Then who needs us? We need it for ourselves. I need it for myself. He does not need anybody's help. Alayhi tawakkaltu wa huwa rabbul arshil azim. And Allah will help with his mission, with us and without us. If we are part of that, it's our good. If we struggle in Allah's way, it is our own success. Alayhi tawakkaltu. Highlight this. Because on him I have relied, and he is the Lord of the great throne. What do we learn in this paragraph? We learn that Prophet ﷺ was soft and gentle. He used to cry and make dua for his ummah. We should do that too. We should make dua for people around us. If they are unbelievers and if they are not practicing Muslims, we should make dua with the bottom of our heart so everybody can come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A believer is soft on believers and harsh on disbelievers. Meaning, because of their disbelief, they don't show, oh, we don't have nothing to do with you. No, show them that you are a believer, you are confident, and you can be tough on them because of their disbelief, not because of their personality. And you have to love them just because, so they can come to Islam. And also we learned here that iman increases and decreases. Iman level goes up and down. Like we learned in those sahabas that some of them were forerunners, some of them were feeling bad. It happens. People feel good sometimes and people feel low sometimes. So always work on increasing of the iman. And you know what? How can you increase your iman? By coming to Quran, because Quran increases the faith of the people. And what else we learned here is that obeying Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is extremely important. That's where the love of Allah will come. If we love Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and if we obey him and if we don't take any command of him very lightly, then inshallah, so many glad tidings for the believers. Now we have completed such a beautiful surah. Now the next surah is Surah Yunus. Surah Yunus is a surah which is in the name of a prophet, Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. There's a mention of the prophet, and after that there will be a Surah Hud and many other surahs that will come in the name of prophets. So in this surah, basically the main theme of this surah is about revelation, the people had the doubt, and we will learn so many ayahs. They are ayahs of the, not the Quran, but the ayahs, meaning the signs of the universe. What we learn from this surah is that even if a person doesn't get the Quran in his life, like for example, they're non-believers, they should be able to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by seeing, observing nature. Because nature is what the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Let's listen to the recitation of the first few ayahs and then we'll continue from there.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Ra. Tilka ayatul kitabil hakim. أكان للناس عجبا أن أوحينا إلى رجل منهم أن أنذر الناس وبشر الذين آمنوا أن لهم قدم صدق عند ربهم قال الكافرون إن هذا لساحر مبين إن ربكم الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام استوى على العرش يدبر الأمر ما من شفيع إلا من بعد إذنه ذلكم الله ربكم فاعبدوه أفلا تذكرون.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. Alif Lam Ra. These are huruf muqatta'at. Tilka ayatul kitab al-hakim. These are the verses of the wise book. What do we learn from this ayah? From ayah number 1 to 10, we learn the doubts about revelation and why people have it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this book, this kitab that you have in your hand, is full of wisdom, is full of hikmah. Question, do we think so? Is this book full of hikmah? Are we learning hikmah from this? The people who attach themselves to this book, they gain hikmah. The people who implement this book and live by this book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows hikmah to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is al-hakim. The book he sent is hikmah. And the people who attach, they become, gain the hikmah. So do we want the hikmah? If we do, then we need to come back to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have the people been amazed that we reveal revelation to a man from among them, saying, warn mankind and give good tidings to those who believe that they will have a firm precedence of honor with their Lord. But the disbelievers say, indeed, this is an obvious magic. You know why? Because they thought these ayahs are too mesmerizing. Indeed, your Lord is Allah, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then established himself above the throne, arranging the matter of his creation. There is no intercessor except after his permission. That is Allah, your Lord. So worship him, then you will not remember? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking, after knowing who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, will you still not worship him? To him is your return altogether. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, there is a life after death concept. You will be returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why don't you believe him now? It is the promise of Allah, which is truth. Indeed, he begins the process of creation and then repeats it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done it once, he can do it again. That he may reward those who would believe and done righteous deeds in justice, in fairness. But those who disbelieve will have a drink of scalding water and painful punishment for what they used to deny. So, It is He who made the sun a shining light. Can you imagine? Have you ever bothered looking at the sun? What an amazing creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, if the sun is a little bit farther away from the distance of earth, then this earth will be too cold for us to survive. And if the sun is too little bit even a notch closer, this earth will be too hot to survive. Everything is in perfect place. And the moon. Imagine if there's no moon, all those dark nights. A bright light. You know, science have just recently discovered that moon doesn't have a light of its own. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote this 1400 years ago. Do we still have doubts? Don't you think that this book needs to be shared with others? And determine for it phases, that you may know the number of the years and count of time. Imagine if the moon was not there, or the sun was sun and moon and the dates that months change, days change, were not there. How would you keep track of this worldly affairs? It is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He made it so. Allah has not created this except in truth. He details the sign for the people who know. Meaning, not everybody will get this sign. The people who want to know, only they will get it. Indeed, in the alterations of the night and the day, and in what Allah has created in the heavens and the earth, are signs for a people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we see so many people using all these things, blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, day and night, and the sun and moon and the stars, but they don't get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know why? Because they do not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we see everything has stopped right there. People say this beautiful name that they have come up with. Instead of God, they say Mother Nature. Mother Nature is doing that. Mother Nature is getting angry. This is why the floods are coming. Mother Nature this and Mother Nature that. What is this Mother Nature? This is a name that people have given because they don't want to admit that there is God there who's doing all this. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَاطْمَأَنُّوا بِهَا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ. Indeed, those who do not expect the meeting with us. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, who will expect the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The one who are actually working for the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the one who are not really working and living their life of their own choice, are they really preparing for themselves? Are they expecting the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, it's just like this. If you and I have some kind of an appointment, like for example, doctor's appointment, and they say, you know, before you come fill out this insurance form and all those stuff in the paperwork needs to be taken care of, that means you're preparing to for that appointment. But the people who do not have this mindset that they have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not prepare themselves in this dunya. And then, وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. How sad. They were just happy with this worldly life. Meaning, they didn't care. They're just happy, satisfied, and they are feeling secure with it. I mean, that they people are so happy that they don't even care. They feel that nothing's going to happen. Life is going to stay forever, and they'll just die in the die. And there's no hell in here. Even though they may believe, they may say it, but they don't really believe it. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ. And they are those who are heedless of our signs. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives these signs to everybody. And then if they ignore it, it's their problem. And they are playing heedless, dumb. أُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارُ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. For those, their refuge will be the fire because of what they used to earn. Why? Because they never expected Jannah. They never strove for it. They never worked hard for it. They don't have to do anything. And you know what? Majority of the people, they don't live for Akhirah. Majority of the people, their mindset is only for this dunya. And this is where the believers come different than non-believers. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَأَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Indeed, those who have believed and done the righteous deed, for them is what? يَهْدِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. Their Lord will guide them because of their faith. Prophet ﷺ said, the world is a prison house for a believer and a paradise for a non-believer. You know why? Because they are ghafil. They live in this world. They don't care. To them, everything is fine. And they have this logo and they have this motto in their life. Catch this and catch that. Just do it. It's okay. Enjoy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, for the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their Lord will guide them because of their faith. meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides who wants to be guided, and faith helps us reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we need them, rivers will flow in the gardens of pleasure. How beautiful ending for the believers. And دعواهم فيها سبحانك اللهم وتحيتهم فيها سلام وآخر دعواهم أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. Who are these people and what are they going to say? The people of Jannah, they're called therein, meaning in Jannah they will be saying سبحانك اللهم, exalted are you, O Allah. And you know what their greetings will be? Assalamu alaikum, peace, the greeting of peace in Jannah. And the last word they will say, what? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, praise to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. These are the grateful servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will enter Jannah, who worked hard in this dunya, who went through all the calls and hardship, and they say labbay. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them ultimate peace, never-ending peace. In this dunya, there is no peace. People may think that they have peace, but if they are over one problem, another problem comes. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created people in the state of qabad, meaning continuous hardship, one after the other. But in Jannah is the total peace. So what do we learn here is that, who is Allah? The oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also we learn that Quran is full of wisdom, and whoever holds on to it, they receive wisdom as well. And please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now, before it's too late. So if we can say Alhamdulillah in every situation now, then we will be the people of Jannah bi-idhnillah. Make Akhirah as your primary goal of living this world, inshaAllah. Ayah number 11 to 20, change yourself, not the Quran. What do we learn here? Remember, and if Allah was to hasten for the people the evil they invoke, as He hastened for them the good, their term would have been ended for them. But we leave the ones who do not expect the meeting with us in their transgression, wandering blindly. May Allah save us from this ending. And we, when affliction touches man, He calls upon us, whether lying on His side or sitting standing. But when we remove from His affliction, He continues in disobedience, and as if He had never called upon us to remove an affliction and touched Him. This is made pleasing to the transgressors, that which they have been doing. I want you to think right now, any problem that you went through in your life, it could be recent or many long time ago, how were your reaction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Were you making a lot of du'as? Were you making a lot of sujoods? Were you making a lot of commitments that I will do this and I will do that? And are we keeping those promises? Are we doing the same thing after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has resolved all the problems? Ayah number 13. And we had already destroyed generations before you when they wronged, and their messengers had come to them with clear proofs, but they were not to be believed. Thus we do recompense the criminal people. Then we made you successors in the land there after them, so that we may observe how you will do, meaning you will see. And when our verses are recited to them as clear evidence, those who do not expect the meeting with us say, bring us the Quran, and other than this, or change it, meaning this Quran is too old. You know, it's for old time people. It's the 20th century, for God's sake. We cannot follow it. This has commands that are due, that were good for those type of people who had no technology back then, who had no luxury of life back then. All they had is Quran. Obviously, they're going to work for it. But today, we have all these things. So we want some change. They want to reform the deen. And we learn here, instead of changing the Quran, we need to change ourselves. And this is what the theme for this paragraph is. Say, it is not for me to change it on my own accord. Meaning, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not given this choice. I only follow what is revealed to me. We can say the same sentences, right? It is not up to you and I to change this Quran. And I can only follow what is revealed to me. Am I supposed to change the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. I only follow what is revealed to me. Indeed, I fear if I should disobey my Lord, the punishment of the tremendous day. Say, if Allah had willed, I would not have recited it to you, nor would He have made it known to you, for I had remained among you a lifetime before it. Then, will you not reason? So, who is more unjust than he who invents a lie about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or denies his signs? Indeed, the criminals will not succeed. And they worship other than Allah, that which neither harms nor benefit them. And they say, these are the intercessors with Allah. Say, do you inform Allah of something he doesn't know in the heavens or the earth? Meaning, auzubillah, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unaware of all these deities that you follow? Exalted is he and high above what they associate with him. And mankind was not but one community, meaning mankind would have been united initially. They were united. Remember, when Adam alayhi salam was born, there was only one religion. Over time, people have divided themselves. But then they differed. Why? Because over time, people start following their own desire and they come up their own way of life. And if not for the word of that proceeded from your Lord, it would have been judged between them immediately concerning that over which they differ, meaning Allah has let these differences happen so that He's testing people. And they say, why is a sign not sent down to him from his Lord? So say, the unseen is only for Allah to administer. So wait, indeed, I am with you among those who wait. So the lesson from this is, remember Allah in good and bad time and don't make dua, evil dua, and be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 21 to 30, we learn, contemplate in signs of nature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting us to look, observe and get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? Ayah number 21, and when we gave the people a taste of mercy, after adversity has touched them at once, they conspired against our verses. Say, Allah is swifter in strategy. Indeed, our messengers record that what you conspire, meaning you cannot trick Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can cause failure to all of your plots. It is He who enables you to travel on the land and sea until when you are in ships and that sail with them by a good wind and they rejoice therein. Have you ever wondered, if there was no ships, how would this world become a global village? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who made this heavy hunk of metal surface on the ship, and a tiny needle falls down, a tiny needle disappears, and this hunk of metal stays on a surface. Isn't that a miracle? Today people say it's science. Who created these laws? Scientific laws are created by someone too, right? So this is what Allah wants people to know, that observe Allah through the signs of this world. And there comes a storm wind and the waves come upon them from everywhere and they assume that they are surrounded, supplicating Allah sincerely to Him in religion. You know, every time this ayah is mentioned, it made me remember the Titanic ship. The makers of the Titanic said that this ship is unsinkable. And upon the first trip, the ship was sunk. And after many years, they found the ruins of the ship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, who are you? You can make whatever you want and you can say whatever you want, but it's going to happen what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. If you should save us from this, we will surely be among the thankful. When people are drowning, that's what they say. And once people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves them, they forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, had you said Bismillah, the angels would have lifted you up. You should have taken Allah's name on any time. When people are in hardship, you should say Allah's name for the protection of it. And if you should save us from this, we will surely be among them for. Then what happens? Falamma anjahum. Then He saves them. When they are saved, what do they say? They forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in the times of drowning and all the hardship, people say, oh, let's make dua to God. Oh God, help us. Oh God, take us out from this problem. But when the problem is solved, they forget. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, call upon Allah while being certain of being answered, and know that Allah does not respond to a supplication from the heart of one who is heedless and occupied by play. Meaning, make dua with the sincerity. But when He saves them, at once they commit injustice upon the earth without any right. What kind of injustice are we talking about? The shirk. O mankind, your injustice is only against yourself, being merely the enjoyment of the worldly life. Then to us is your return, and we will inform you of what you used to do. Allah says, the example of this worldly life, this ayah number 24 highlighted, because in this we will learn the how this worldly life is. The example of this worldly life is like but rain, which we have sent down from the sky, that the plants of the earth absorbs those from which men and livestock eat. Until when the earth has taken on its adornment and it's beautified and its people suppose that they have capability over it, there comes it to our command by night or by day, and we make it as a harvest, as if it had not flourished yesterday. Thus do we explain in detail the signs of the people who give thoughts. Have you ever heard in this news that, you know, the crops are destroyed because it didn't rain, or maybe because of the heavy rain, the crops didn't grow? So why? If people think everything is in their control, then how come they're not able to control this? Wallahu yad'u ila dari salam. And you know what? Allah is inviting to the home of the peace and guides whom He wills to a straight path. What do we learn in this ayah? If Allah is inviting us there, don't you think that we should long for it? The wife of Fir'aun, she made dua, Rabbi ibn li indaka baytan fil Jannah. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me the house near you in Jannah. And we, on the other hand, people are taking all kinds of mortgages to buy houses after houses. And if they lose these houses, they lose their shirt, and people don't pay attention that there's a house they have to go for, which Allah is calling. Notice the wording here, Wallahu yad'u. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling you, inviting you. Dawa, right? Yadu, dawa, dua, they are all this from the same root word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling upon you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting you to the home of the peace. May Allah give us ability and desire and longing for this. You know why? Because Adam alayhi salam was sent in the heaven first. So this is why it is built in our system that we have this longing for the Jannah. But people get too busy in this dunya and they forget about it. It is built in our DNA to long for the Jannah. But we just have to really remember this. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادًا. For those who have done good, it is the best reward and also extra. What is this extra? The additional favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give. And what is that? It is forgiveness of him and his pleasure. And best of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show himself. Can you imagine seeing the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No darkness will cover their faces, nor humiliation. Those are the companions of the paradise. They will abide therein eternally, meaning their faces will be lit up with the brightness, and they will not be saddened, no sorrow, no grief, no hurting, no feeling bad, no name callings. All these things are only part of this dunya. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to know that since you have all these problems here in this dunya, you will not have any of that in the akhirah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, two gardens, the utensils and the content of which are silver, and two gardens, the utensils and the contents of which are gold, and nothing will prevent the people who will be in Jannah from seeing their Lord except the curtain of majesty over his face. How beautiful. Let's make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to see the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 27. But they who have earned blame for evil doings, the recompense of an evil deed of its equivalent, and humiliation will cover them. They will have from Allah no protector. It will be as their faces are covered with pieces of night, so dark are they. Those are the companions of the fire. They will abide therein eternally. And mention, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the day we will gather them all together. Then we will say to those who associate others with Allah, remain in your place, you and your partners. Then we will separate them, and their partners will say, you did not use to worship through us. And sufficient is Allah as a witness between us and you, and that we were of your worship unaware. هُنَالِكَ تَبْلُو كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا أَسْلَفَتْ. There on the day, every soul will be put to trial for what it did previously, and they will return to Allah, their master, the truth, and loss from them is whatever they used to invent. Ayah number 31 to 40, we learn Allah's challenge. Say, who provides for you from the heavens and the earth? Or who controls hearing and the sight? Question. Do we know? How are we able to see? And how are we able to hear? What kind of instrument Allah SWT has installed in our body? Because if you think about it, this ear is made out of some different shapes. What is it that makes us hear? What is so special in the eyes? Because it's just a part of the body. What is it that is so special that we can see? And who has given all these things? Have you ever wondered about this tongue? Why this piece of meat is talks? Why the rest of the body doesn't? Because we know the rest of the body will talk on the day of judgment too, right? Ayah number 32, for that is Allah, and who brings the living out of the dead, and who brings the dead out of the living, and who arranges every matter? They will say, Allah. So say, then will you not fear him? After knowing, how come people would not fear him? For that is Allah, your Lord, the truth, and what can be beyond truth except error? So how are you averted? Thus, the word of your Lord has come into effect upon those who defiantly disobeyed, that they will not believe. Say, are there of your partner any who begins creation and then repeats it? Meaning, if there is, then bring it. Say, Allah begins creation and then repeats it. So, how are you deluded? Say, are there of your partners any who guides to the truth? Say, Allah guides to the truth. So, is he who guides to the truth more worthy to be followed? Or is he who guides not unless he is guided himself? Then, what is wrong with you? How do you judge? And most of them follow, not except assumptions. Indeed, assumptions avail not against the truth at all. Indeed, Allah is knowing of what they do. And it was not possible for this Quran or to be produced by another than other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is a confirmation of what was before it and a detailed explanation of the former scripture about which there is no doubt from the Lord of the world. Question. Do we have any doubt about this Quran? 38. Or do they say about the Prophet that he invented it? Say, then bring forth a surah like it and call upon for assistance whomever you can besides Allah if you should be truthful. Rather, they have denied that which they encompass not in knowledge and whose interpretation has not yet come to them. Thus, did those before them deny? Then observe, how was the end of the wrongdoers? Did they survive or they went away? Allatheena yu'minuna bil ghayb, those who believe in the unseen. And of them are those who believe in it, and of them are those who do not believe in it. And your Lord is most knowing of the corruptors. Say, Alhamdulillah, that we fall in a category of a believer, aren't we? Say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, O Allah, thank you for making us a believer. In ayah number 41 to 53, we learn, everyone is responsible for themselves. And if they deny you, then say, for me are my deeds and for you are your deeds. You are disassociated from what I do and I am disassociated from what you do. You know why? Because each one of us is responsible for ourselves. And among are those who listen to you, meaning they listen to you, but they do not understand. But because, you know why? If they did, then they would have believed. But can you cause the deaf to hear? Although they will not use reason. This is why we see people, after even listening, nothing happens to them because they have no inner desire to learn. And among them are those who look at you, but can you guide the blind, although they will not attempt to see? Indeed, Allah does not wrong the people at all, but it is the people who are wronging themselves. And on a day when he will gather them, it will be as if they had not reminded in the world, but an hour of the day, and they will know each other. Meaning, on the day of judgment, the life in this world will seem so short, and people, all they think about is, how can I take revenge from this person who hurt me? How can I do this to that because they really bothered me? And how can I achieve more in this dunya? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, that this dunya is not even a worth of half a day or even less than a day. and we are working for this dunya, all of it. Those will have lost who denied the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and were not guided. And better be sure you some of what we promised them, or we take you as debt to you to us in their return. Then either way, Allah is a witness concerning what they are doing. And for every nation is a messenger. So when their messenger comes, it will be judged between them in justice, and they will not be wronged. When this will happen, some people believe, others don't, and those who don't believe, when they will repeatedly deny the warnings they are given to them, when they insist what will happen eventually, they will be punished. And they say, when is the fulfillment of this promise if you should be truthful? Meaning, they would ask, where's the day of judgment? People today also take it easy. So what? I don't really care. We'll see we'll worry about it when it comes. Really? We will worry about it when it comes? Tell them, I possess not for myself any harm or benefit except what Allah should will. For every nation is a specified term. When their time has come, then they will not remain behind an hour, nor will they precede it. Our time is also predetermined. We know that. Death will come at any time. The minute death comes, then it's time for us to go. And then there is the day of judgment starts for us whenever the minute person dies. Ayah number 50. Say, have you considered if his punishment should come to you by night or by day, for which aspect of it would the criminals be impatient? Meaning, think, if the punishment is going to come, does it matter? It doesn't matter if it comes in the day or night, right? Punishment is punishment. Then, is it that when it has actually occurred, you will believe in it now? And you were once for it impatient? Then, it will be said to those who had wrong, taste the punishment of eternity. Notice here. Eternity. And are you being recompensed except for what you used to earn? Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all just. He will not do any injustice to anyone. They will get what they deserve. وَيَسْتَنْبِئُونَكَ أَحَقُّ هُوَ. And they ask information of you. Is it really true? They ask you, like, really seriously? Come on, are you kidding? No, it's not going to happen. Say, yes, my Lord, indeed, it is true, and you will not cause failure. Ayah number 54 to 60, we learned that Quran is a delight of my heart. And if each soul that wronged, that everything on earth, it would offer it in ransom, and they will confide regret when they see the punishment, and they will be judged in fairness, and they will not be wrong. Allah, unquestionably, inna lillahi ma fi samawati wal ard, to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and the earth. Allah, inna wa'dallahi haqqun, unquestionably, the promise of the Allah is true, but most of them do not know. Huwa yuhyi wa yumeet, he gives life and causes death. Wa ilayhi turja'un, and to him you will all be returned. Ya ayyuhannas. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling this to all mankind, everybody. O mankind, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مَعِزَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. There has come to you instructions from your Lord. Which instructions? This Quran. What do we learn from this ayah? That this Quran is not for just the believers. Muslims should not keep this Quran within their own homes, confined. They should express this Quran to outside world. So it is job of yours and I what to do with this Quran. Because this Quran is a ma'iza. Ma'iza is basically an instruction that touches upon the heart. So when you and I give the reasoning to people, they will not get it. So what we learn here is that connect people directly to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only then their heart gets affected. وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, and healing for what it is in the heart. What do we learn here? It heals whatever the problem we have in the chest, because all the things and ill feelings and disbelief lies where? It lies in the chest. وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and it is guidance and mercy for the believers. So what do we learn in this ayah? How this Quran is shifa? We know this Quran is a guidance, and we know this Quran is a beautiful advice, and we know this Quran is a rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how this is also a shifa? Because we learn that Aisha radiya ta'ala anha said that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once came to her, and he saw that the lady was with Aisha radiya Allah anha, who was trying to treat her. Aisha radiya Allah anha must be unwell, and she was blowing on her, and she was saying something and blowing something on Aisha. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Alijiha bi kitabillah, cure her through the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Meaning, this Quran is a book that can cure us. How it can cure us? Not just our spiritual problem, but it can cure us physically. It can cure us emotionally, socially. All kinds of problems can be cured by this Quran. Because when a person recites it, reflects upon it, implements it, what happens? Quran brings solution to every problem. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, make this Quran a solution to all of my problems. But you know what? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during his time, when some companions, they have gone somewhere and they had to rest somewhere, and there were some people, they asked them if they could stay with them, and they refused. And then what happened? One of their leaders got bitten, and the sahaba recited Surah Al-Fatiha upon him, and he was bitten by some poisonous animal, and he was cured. So what do we learn from this? Yes, it will. Quran is a cure for physical illnesses too. So people who may be sick, they should recite Surah Al-Fatiha. They should recite the Masnoon Du'as on a sick person. We know that the Du'a, when a person is feeling a pain, it's from the Sunnah to recite the Du'a of the pain. So this Quran becomes shifa. قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ. Say, in the bounty of Allah and His mercy, in that, فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. In that, let them rejoice. Meaning, they should be happy. Why? هُوَ خَيْرٌ لِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. It is better than what they accumulate. What do we learn in this ayah? Meaning, learning this Quran and collecting deeds from this Quran is much better than collecting all the worldly stuff. People have this thing that they want to collect collectibles. At the end of the day, what are these collectibles? Have you ever been to this antique shops? What do you find there? People who have so many years of collection, when they die, their stuff end up in either in a Goodwill shop or antique shop, where people buy old stuff thinking it's a treasure. And then their house gets filled, and the hoarding becomes from their house to another house. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you can collect anything. At the end of the day, huwa khayrun mimma yajma'un. What is better for you to collect? This Quran. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. You can highlight this ayah, because in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, let them rejoice who collect this Quran in their heart, who learn the treasures of the Quran, who dive in the ocean of this Quran, and who get so many treasures out of it that they're not even able to handle. So, and earlier we learned about the theme ayah of today. That's first of shirk, وَبِعَيْئِكُمْ الَّذِي بِعَيْئِكُمْ بايعتم به فاستبشر ببيعكم الذي بايعتم به. Rejoice with the bay, meaning the transaction that you have made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فليفرحوا. They should be happy with the Quran, meaning it is the best trade that we can do. 59. Say, have you seen what Allah has sent down to you? A provision of which you have made some lawful and some unlawful? Say, has Allah permitted you to do so? Or do you invent something about Allah? And what would be the supposition of those who invent falsehood about Allah on the day of resurrection? Indeed, Allah is full of bounty to the people, but most of them are ungrateful. And O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are not engaged in any matter or recite any of the Quran, and you people do not do any deed except that whether we are witness over you. And when you are involved in it, and not absent from your Lord is any part of an atom's weight within the earth or within the heavens or anything smaller that than that or greater, but that is in the clear register. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved everything. Every tiny thing is written in the registers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, inna awliya Allahi, unquestionably, for the allies of Allah, there will be no fear concerning them, nor will they grieve. Question, do you and I want to be an ally of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If we do, then know that what are the qualities of the allies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I want you to number them down. What are they? Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun, those who believe and were fearing Allah. For them are good tidings in the world, in this worldly life, in the hereafter. No change is there in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what is the great attainment. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are people from the servants of Allah who are neither prophets nor martyrs. The prophets and the martyrs will envy them on the day of resurrection for their ranks from Allah. Yeah, the Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, who are they? He said, they are the people who love one another for the Quran. Question, can we love one another for the Quran? Without having any mutual kinship, meaning the family of Quran. We may not have any relationship. We may never get to see each other. But if we right now sitting in this room, so many people, if we love each other for the sake of Allah, then what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these people are more beloved. Let me just repeat this hadith again. They are people from the servants of Allah who are neither prophets nor martyrs, meaning they are not on the prophets and the martyrs level. The prophets and the martyrs will envy them, but they still envy these people. Who are these people? On the day of resurrection for their ranks from Allah. And the Sahaba asked this question. Rasulullah ﷺ replied, they are the people who love one another for the Quran without having any mutual kinship and giving property to one. Meaning there is no transaction going on, there is no business dealing going on, there is no blood relation going on, but they love each other for the Quran. How beautiful. He said, I swear by Allah, their faces will glow and they will be sitting in pulpits of light. They will have no fear on the day when people will have fear and they will not grieve. And the people will grieve. These are the awliya of Allah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَعْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ, and let not their speech grieve you. Indeed, honor due to power belongs to Allah entirely. He is the hearing and the knowing. Unquestionably, to Allah belongs whoever is in the heavens and whoever is on the earth. And those who invoke other than Allah do not actually follow his partners. They follow not except assumptions, meaning they have made up all these deities. There is no reality behind them. It is he who made for you the night to rest therein and the day, giving sight. Indeed, in that are signs for people who listen. قَالُ اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا, they have said, Allah has taken son. سُبْحَانَهُ, exalted is he. He is the one free of need. To him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. You have no authority for this claim. Do you say Allah? About Allah, that which you do not know? Say, indeed, those who invent falsehood about Allah will not succeed. And for them is brief enjoyment in this world, then to us is their return. They will make them taste a severe punishment because they used to disbelieve. From ayah number 71 to 82, we learn that haqq, the truth, will prevail. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ نُوحٍ, sorry, ayah number 70. For them is brief enjoyment in this world, then to us is their return. Then we will make them taste a severe punishment because they used to disbelieve. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ نُوحٍ, and recite to them the news. He said to his people, O my people, if my residence and my reminding of the signs of Allah has become burdensome upon you, then I have relied upon Allah. He said, I have relied upon Allah, so resolve upon your plan and call upon your associates. Not your plan be obscure to you, then carry it out upon me and do not give me respite. And if you turn away from my advice, then no payment have I asked of you. Meaning, why do you not accept my call? I'm not even asking you for any favor, not even money. My reward is only from Allah, and I have been commanded to be of the Muslims, meaning I have surrendered myself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they denied him. We saved him and those with him in the ship and made them successors. And we drowned those who denied our signs. And then see how is the end of those who were warned. Then we sent after messengers to their people, and they came. They came to them with clear proofs, but they were not to believe in that which they had denied before. Thus, we seal over the hearts of the transgressors. Then we sent after them Musa alayhi salam and Harun to Fir'aun and establishment with our signs, but they had behaved arrogantly and were criminal people. And so we then, when they came to them the truth from us, they said, indeed, this is obvious magic. Musa alayhi salam said, do you say thus about the truth when it has come to you? Is this magic? But magicians will not succeed. No magic is allowed. Black magic is haram. They said, have you come to us to turn us away from that upon which we found our forefathers, and so that you too may have grandeur in the land? And we are not believers in you. And Fir'aun said, bring to me every learned magician. So when the magicians came, Musa alayhi salam said to them, throw down whatever you will throw. And when they have thrown, Musa alayhi salam said, what have you brought is only magic. Indeed, Allah will expose its worthlessness. Allah does not amend the work of the corruptors. And Allah will establish the truth but his words, even if the criminals dislike it. This is why we know that the truth prevails. Ayah number 83, and from ayah number 83 to 92, rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. But no one believed in Musa alayhi salam except some youths among his people for fear of Fir'aun and his establishment, that they would persecute them. Indeed, Fir'aun was haughty within his land, and indeed he was of the transgressors, meaning the threats of the Fir'aun were real. And Musa said, O my people, if you have believed in Allah, then rely upon Allah. Rely upon Allah. Rely upon him if you should be believers. Highlight this ayah. This is a motto of our life. Rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 84, and Musa said, O my people, if you have believed in Allah, then rely upon him if you should be believers. فَقَالُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. So they said, upon Allah, we do rely. Our Lord, make us not object of trial for the wrongdoing people, and save us by your mercy from the disbelieving people. Generally, what happens if someone tells me to make us a dua? Yeah, but tell them something else. So, Bani Israel also said that, you know. They said, Alallahi tawakkalna, immediately. Yes, on Allah we rely. And this is the kind of faith that is required by us. We need to have this hasbun Allah wa ni'mal wakeel in our hearts. Ayah number 87, and we inspired to Musa and his brother, settle your people in Egypt in houses and make your houses facing the Qibla and establish prayer and give good tidings to the believer. What do we learn here? When masajid are not available for you, make your houses a Qibla. This ayah is so relevant for today. Today, masajid doors are closed because of this virus, and we need to not just skip the salah, instead try to establish salah in jama'ah with your family at home. Why? Make your masajid, make your homes as a masajid. وَقَالَ مُوسَى, and Musa said, our Lord, indeed, you have given Fir'aun and his establishment splendor and wealth in a worldly life. Our Lord, that they may lead men stray from your way. Our Lord, obliterate their wealth and harden their hearts so that they will not believe until they see the painful punishment. Allah said, your supplication has been answered, so remain on the right course and follow not the way of those who do not know. And we took the children of Israel across the sea, and Pharaoh and his soldiers pursued them in tyranny and enmity until when drowning overtook him, he said, I believe that there is no deity except that in whom the children of Israel believe, and I am of the Muslims. Al-An, now, and you have disobeyed him before and were of the corruptors. Now, his iman was not accepted. It was too late then. Ayah number 92. So today, we will save you in body. Meaning he died, but his body was preserved. Do you know why? So that you may be of those who succeed you to sign. Who succeed you a sign. And indeed, many among the people of our signs are heedless. Ayah number 93 to 103. Only believers are saved. And we have certainly settled the children of Israel in an agreeable settlement and provided them with good things, and they did not differ until after knowledge had come to them. Indeed, your Lord will judge between them on the day of resurrection concerning that over which they used to differ. Amazing. When person is in a difficulty, Shaitan makes them impatient. And this is exactly what happens to people. Ayah number 94. So if you are in doubt, if you are in doubt about that which we have revealed to you, then ask those who have been reading the scripture before you. The truth has certainly come to you from your Lord. So never be among those who doubt, and never be of those who deny the signs of Allah and thus be among the losers. Indeed, those upon whom the word of your Lord has come into effect will not believe, even if every sign should come to them, until they see the painful punishment. Meaning, it doesn't matter. Sometimes if people don't get it, they don't want to get it, they don't get it. Ayah number 98. That has there not been a single city that believed. So its fate benefited it except the people of Yunus. When they believed, we removed from them the punishment of disgrace in worldly life and gave them enjoyment for a time. This is why the name of the surah is Surah Yunus. And had your Lord willed, those on earth would have believed, all of them entirely. Then would you compel the people in order that they become believers? And it is not for any soul to believe except by permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we learn? Iman comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hidayah and the guidance come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he replaced defilement upon those who will not use reason. Say, observe, what is the heavens and earth? Look at it with your own eyes and reflect upon it. But no avail will be sign or warners to be people, to a people who do not believe, meaning they do not benefit from these signs. So do they wait except for like what occurred in the days of those who passed on before them? Say, then wait, indeed I am with you among those who wait. Then we will save our messengers and those who have believed. Thus it is an obligation upon us that we save the believers. Say, O people, if you are in doubt as to my religion, then I do not worship those which you worship besides Allah, but I worship only Allah. Notice here, oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one who causes you your death, and I have been commanded to be of the believers. In ayah number 104 to 109, we learn that only Allah deserves our worship and nobody else. And I have been commanded to be of the believers, and I have been commanded, direct your faces towards the religion, inclining to the truth, and never be of those who associate others with Allah. O Allah, save us from any and all kinds of shirk. وَلَا تَدْعُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَوْكَ وَلَا يَضُرُّكَ. And do not invoke besides Allah that which neither benefits you nor harmed you. For if you did, then indeed you would be of the wrongdoers. وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفُ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ. And if Allah should touch you with adversity, there is no removal of it except Him. This ayah is an ayah of hope. No matter what people say, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to hurt you, nothing will hurt you. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hurts you, wants to hurt you, nothing can stop Him. And if he intends for you good, then there is no repeller of his bounty. He causes it to reach whom he wills and of his servants. And if he is the forgiving and the merciful, say, O mankind, the truth has come to you from your Lord. So whoever is guided is only guided for the benefit of his own soul. And whoever goes astray only goes astray in violation against it. And I am not over you a manager, meaning it is not up to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to guide you. Guidance comes from Allah for those who want it. Ayah number 109. And follow what is revealed to you and be patient until Allah will judge, and He is the best of the judges. After that, Surah Yunus is also, Surah Yunus has just ended, but after that, inshallah, Surah Hud is also there. So from ayah number 1 to 5. If you want, we can do the Surah now, or we can do it later, because time is up. I think we can do it just later, inshallah. We'll end the session here, and we'll continue tomorrow with these 5 ayahs of the remaining from Juz 11. And let's do the next slide, which is the du'a of the today. What is the du'a? That we did in the beginning. Let's remember it again. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahiyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. And لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا من المسلمين اللهم اهدني لأحسن الأعمال وأحسن الأخلاق لا يهدي الحسن يهدي الحسنها إلا أنت وقني سيء الأعمال وسيء الأخلاق لا يقي سيئها إلا أنت. It was narrated that Jabir bin Abdullah said when Prophet ﷺ started to prayer, and he used to say this dua. And the last slide, if you see, the take-home message is, what will make me sell myself in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We've been learning juz after juz, alhamdulillah. We have completed 11 juz, more than one-third of the Quran we have completed on this journey. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Now this question is only fair. What will make me sell myself in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? With that, we'll end with a note in our mind that we need to contemplate about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's signs of the nature and the signs of the Quran. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera wa hasan jazaa sa faiza. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Like every day, again, a beautiful message. The juz, alhamdulillah, full of wisdom and hikmah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments and subhanallah, his attributes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us to learn all these all this message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just a second, my screen. It's about to restart and I don't know how to stop it. Inshallah. I am so sorry, my computer just about to restart. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the shar of shaitan. Ameen, summa ameen. Okay, now my question is, did we put a sign on ourselves of salt? Allahu Akbar. I just, you know, like, it just touched my heart that we have to put salt sign on ourselves. And we have to, indeed, we have to sell ourselves. And this is such a good business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just purely profit. No loss. Subhanallah. And you know what? Yeah, no loss at all. Alhamdulillah. We want to be, now, the next thing we have to think is, before we leave is, do we want to be a believer or a hypocrite? We've been learning from past two juz, and it is so very important to understand this. just feel right. Exactly. It just feels right. You know, like no ifs and buts. It's just, it is, you know, like your heart is telling you that it is the right thing to do. It feels right. Exactly. And I would like you to please pick one thing which really touches your heart besides selling yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which you will take from this juz, inshallah wa ta'ala. We'll discuss it and then we'll conclude the class, inshallah. It is better to admit our mistakes and make tawbah in this dunya. Our goal is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows our intention. Indeed, we do. Indeed, we have to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How Allah gives to those who truly believe. Exactly. Subhanallah. We are so very blessed to be sitting here and learning His kalam. I mean, it is not our, we just desired and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted our wish. Alhamdulillah. Deep understanding of Quran is the key to Jannah. Exactly. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We should open our hearts to Allah. Quran is a must. Exactly. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Remember Allah in good times and bad times. Spend our lives and money in the path of Allah. We should sell ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Exactly. Alhamdulillah. And are we ready to do trade with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives, right? Rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to avoid friction in our lives. We learned that too, right? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah. May Allah accept all of us, Awali. Yes, exactly. And we, one of our sister wrote, I love you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also love, love you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too, sisters. Because if we love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah wa ta'ala, we could be the contenders standing in, under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's arsh at the day of judgment when it will be so hot and the only shade will be of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's arsh. So inshallah wa ta'ala, we will love each other for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we can be the contenders, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us avoid all the friction in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us courage to stand for Muslim Ummah and Islam. May we not only love our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we obey him too. Be among the five. Yes, alhamdulillah, just went too high. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the soft molding clay. I remember that too. So we can mold ourselves whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be. No. Quran full of wisdom. Subhanallah. May Quran is made the delight of our hearts. May it is made solutions to all of our problems. Sadqa of, alhamdulillah, sadqa of repentance. May we are the ones, the staunch believers of the day we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only just believe, but our struggles show how serious we are in our belief. Inshallah wa ta'ala, we will make sure that we struggle for that meeting. We prepare for that meeting. And this is, sitting here is the first step, learning how we can prepare ourselves, inshallah wa ta'ala. May we are granted the ability to ponder over Quran and nature so we can develop the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May we are among those who worry about our end now, not when it knocks at our door. Preparation. And from our shaitan's evil thoughts. May we are blessed with all the blessings of Quran and Ramadan. Ameen, summa ameen. If life and health permitted, inshallah wa ta'ala, we will see you tomorrow with Juz 12, Biznillah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. وتب علينا وتب علينا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على رسول خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sister, please, can you put two slides? One is, I think, from 31 to 40, and then 41 to 53, I believe. Could you please put two slides for the sister?